the edge of Hamilton's escarpment, this is Indy 101.5 CIOI.
Hello there. Happy Tuesday. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air. This is my weekly radio show where I interview Canadian musicians and music industry professionals about working within the industry. So I hope you enjoy this. And tonight I'm hanging out with Aisha Barrow, or Life in the Tribe. She's a pop/R&B singer-songwriter based in Hamilton. You can find Aisha online everywhere under Life in the Tribe and on all streaming services also under Life in the Tribe. So, hey, Aisha.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a lovely morning today, so yeah, doing pretty great.
Yeah, I stepped outside for a second and it felt pretty nice out.
Yeah, I agreed. It's a little warm where I'm right now, but we've got the trusty AC going. So.
Beautiful. Glad to hear. Yeah. And I guess for the first question, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that I'm a very eclectic artist. I do like to sing in whatever genre I can. I don't like to be pinned down by genre. I do think that the base of my work is mostly R&B and pop, but those genres have become so wide and ever expansive at this point that they can really be anything. Mm-hmm. Most of my work is rooted in R&B and pop, but, you know, don't be surprised if you see me do a rock song or like a folk song or or anything of that matter.
Totally. And who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
I love performers beyond anything else. So I'd say folks like Janet Jackson, Earth, Wind & Fire really do it for me. Those are the top two, to be totally honest. And I know Beyonce is sort of like the one that everybody has. But yeah, I mean, she's one of the greatest performers of our time. So absolutely, she's an influence as well. And then there are like deeper influences for me, like Nina Simone, who, you know, had a deep voice kind of like me, Anita Baker as well. So really mostly a lot of women in the R&B field are generally my influences. And then in the larger pop realm, we have like a Janet Jackson or like a Britney Spears or, you know, even like a Christina Aguilera. Those ladies did it for me. Oh, and I can't forget Whitney Houston as well.
Of course. Awesome. And what would you say you take from them? Like sound and style, production, stage presence, what would you say?
Mm-hmm. Well, generally, like I'm looking at all of those things, stage production for sure. For my own shows, I'm constantly looking back at like what I can do to make my live shows a bit more cohesive and a bit more exciting for the fans and for my friends as well. So I take a lot from performance. And then I take a lot vocally as well. A lot of the folks that I mentioned are kind of like vocal Bibles in my book. And I listen to the little riffs and the runs they do and the backing vocals they do on their own tracks. And I try to see how I can incorporate that same complexity into my own music. Because I think a lot of the times these ladies get kind of thrown to the side as just singers, and they're mm-hmm. doing a whole lot in the studio as well. Mm-hmm. That really makes a song pop and stand out. And I try to see how I can incorporate that in my own stuff.
Yeah. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid, what was played around your house growing up? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Yeah, of course. I grew up in an African household, Gambian in particular, so we listen to a lot of Gambian music, a lot of Senegalese music, which is like the country right next to us, and a lot of African music in general in our household. But beyond that, too, we were listening to a lot of what was on pop radio, you know, like it was coming down to us in Gambia as well. And I think that's part of the reason why I have such a varied sound, is that we grew up listening to everything. And it allowed me to also recognize that there are many music cultures around the world that want to share their music as well. And all you have to do is just kind of seek it. So as a result of like that, mm-hmm. As a result of that, I've been able to like branch out and look to sort of what's happening in Southeast Asia, what's happening in North America here, what's happening in South America, what's happening in Europe, and mm-hmm. I have been able to gain influences from different areas in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I find that most musicians, they have a certain point in their life where they discover like an artist or like an album or a song, and it kind of, it affects them in a way where they're like, wow, I wish I made that. Like that speaks to me so much. Right. And then that kind of introduces them to, you know, creating their own music. Do you have a moment like that? Or did you have a moment like that?
You know, it wasn't so much when I was younger that I had a moment like that. Mm-hmm. I always thought kind of being an artist was cool, but I was like, I was a kid who was in everything. I was singing, dancing, and acting, and I kind of wanted to be all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I was focused severely on one of those mediums, and neither of them took until I sort of left home. And I listened to the True EP by Solange.
Okay.
And what's really fun about that EP is that, like, is the contract that you get from Solange. She's from a family of musicians, arguably one of the biggest musicians in the entire world. Her sister's Beyonce.
Yeah.
And she decided to go into music herself, which is already a scary thing to do
mm-hmm.
when your sister is Beyonce.
Yeah, God.
But she went the opposite track in that, like, I feel as though Beyonce's music and her artistry is outward, like it's for the audience, whereas Solange's artistry is for herself, is inward. And she worked with Blood Orange on that album. She produced a lot of the tracks on that album, and it became this like really eclectic funk, neo soul, kind of sweet pop album as well,
mm-hmm.
where it was very like synth and electronic based, but also very rooted in this like neo soul experience. And that really changed the way that I saw how I could make music, that I didn't have to like necessarily just stick to one genre. I could incorporate all of it into what I do and make something that sounds a little kooky, but kind of different and fun.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, when did you first get into playing music? Did you start on an instrument? Did you start with your vocals? What happened there?
I started with my computer. I started with GarageBand.
Nice.
I just knew that I had all these ideas, and I didn't have any like training, to be totally honest.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any training, but I knew that I had a computer, and I had this music program that I never really opened up. So when I got it and opened it up, I would use a lot of their stock samples there and like make little melodies over it. And then eventually I was like, ah, what if I start building my own melodies? And then from then on, I kind of moved toward the keyboard and the piano, because it was just the easiest one to work with GarageBand. And I've been building from there. And that's when I kind of started playing music. From then on, I've been performing, and usually I have a whole host of artists behind me helping me do that. So I can't really take all the credit for playing my own music, but the idea is definitely to start with me.
Sure.
And started with my computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And would you like to learn more instruments in the future? Is that something you want to get into?
Yeah. I also do know that like I'm totally terrified, because learning something when you're 29 versus when you're 12 is completely different, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just like, am I going to be able to hack it? Am I going to be able to do it?
Mm.
But I do know that it's important to like get a more of a knowledge on these kinds of things. So I would absolutely love to. I'd love to deepen my understanding of the piano. And also, you know, I took lessons a little bit ago for guitar, and I'd love to get back to that as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, people get into instruments in like their 40s and 50s. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I know. It's a matter of just doing it.
Yeah. Did you find that you were confident from the get-go when you started like performing and like creating music? Or if not, how was that confidence journey for you?
Oh, man, no. I don't even know if confidence was in my head when I started performing. I thought mm-hmm. I was just like, I need to get this stuff out of me. You mm-hmm. know, like I was just like, I feel like I have a lot of melodies inside of my body and they just need a way to come out. So I don't even know if I thought about being confident. I just thought, this has got to come out some way. It's kind of when I started going to school and really advocating for myself as a performer that I had to really take a look at my confidence. And I would say it wasn't necessarily there, but I do think that there is some semblance of confidence. Maybe it's delusion. I don't know. To like have a go at this thing called music, you know, mm-hmm. like you have to sort of be able to like blindly tell yourself that you're going to be okay when you start out. So I guess maybe there was a bit of confidence there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like live performance and stuff goes, I'm always terrified to be on that stage, but I also know that it's some of the most fun stuff I can do. So I think there's a two of these things can be true. I can be confident, but I'm also often very scared.
Right. That confidence, that line between like confidence and delusion, it's pretty blurry. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you went to school for music. You went to Mohawk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you take lessons outside of that schooling?
Yeah, prior to going to Mohawk, I did take some vocal lessons. I mm-hmm. just wanted to kind of brush up on my strengths, any of that sort of stuff. But even before that, I was in a lot of like community stuff. I was in choirs. I was in a glee club. I was doing a lot of like performances. I was in a rock band prior to called Other Moons. So I was doing stuff musically before going to Mohawk, but Mohawk was really the place where I like cut my teeth as far as learning about musicianship, essentially, you know, mm-hmm. like how to make myself a better musician. But I did give myself a little bit before I went into there. And also, I was a mature student, technically. So prior to going to Mohawk, I really wanted to make sure that I went in knowing something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you feel as though was the biggest lesson that you took away from your time studying at Mohawk?
Oh, that's a big one. There were mm-hmm. so many lessons.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is the idea that the people that you are going to school with are the people who you're going to be working with, and you should network across, not just above. I think we all get really stuck on the idea that we need to network to the person like a step above us in our career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's equally as important to like make art with your friends and make art with your like peers, because you don't know where you're going to be in life and you don't know where they're going to be in life. And that could mean, you know, a really big show for you 2 or 3 years from now, or it could just mean like a really great album. And I think that's the biggest lesson I took from Mohawk community mm-hmm. musicians that like we had.
Mm-hmm. 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 Do you remember at what time you started creating music? So, you know, that bridge from like performing other people's songs to actually writing your own stuff.
It started like with my band, Other Moons, Other Moons, where I really started writing my own songs. And then I kind of had the inkling that I wanted it to be more about me, more about my sound, more about artistically what I wanted to do. I didn't want sort of to be tied down to compromising 5 different ways. And that was, I think, in 2012 was when I really started like making my own music and exploring what kind of sounds good to me. And making the weirdest stuff, really the weirdest stuff. If I showed you some of those old songs, you'd be like, what is going on? But that's really when I started making my own music and experimenting and creating my own sort of sound. It'd probably be like 2012, because I'd been singing other people's songs for ages, and then I'd been in the band for quite some time, and I just got to a place where I was just like, what does Aisha sound like? Like, yeah. What does she sound like as an artist? That's fun.
Yeah. And what time was that? Sorry, was that high school, or was that just out of high school, or?
It was just out of high school. Okay. I was just out of high school. I was in my, I think, first year of university. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. And at one point, did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
I would say that there wasn't really much else I knew how to do than music. I was in university for classical studies, which is the study of ancient Greece and Rome, and I just wasn't into it. Mm-hmm. I was into the mythology, but not like anything else.
Right.
So, I took a stock of like what I could do, and the only thing that made sense to me was music, because I had a natural ability and then I could get lost in it as well. So it wasn't necessarily that I saw it as a viable career. It was just like, okay, this is the only thing that I can see myself doing. Anything else feels kind of sad to me. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't really want to have a go at it. So that's when I figured I might as well try to take it seriously and try to do something with it.
Yeah.
Because it's really the only thing that brings me joy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you remember the first time that you performed on a stage?
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, probably like one of those talent shows when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I do remember it. It was at Brookhaven Elementary School in Toronto.
Nice.
I was in grade 5, I think, and we had a talent show, and I sang Mariah Carey's We Belong Together. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun. People were like, actually, you got such a good voice. And I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I can sing? Mm-hmm. Let me do this then. That was the first time I performed. First time I got to like perform on as Life in the Tribe was a showcase I put myself together in Hamilton at the St. Hollywood. And that was really fun. I'd been working on these songs in my last year of college at Mohawk. I'd amassed like a bunch of musicians that I thought were cool and I could work really well with. And it felt right. It felt like it's the right time to showcase what I'd been accumulating as Life in the Tribe.
And do you remember what that experience was like the first time you performed on a stage, or is that so long ago it's hard for you to remember?
Oh my god, it's so long ago it's hard for me to remember. Mm-hmm. I know that I was nervous, but there's this thing that happens when I'm performing where it's like, I'm terrified, I'm scared, I'm nervous, but it's also this thing that I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter how scared I am. It's like, I made the choice to get on this stage, so I have to get on the stage, so I have to find a way to make it fun for myself. Mm-hmm. That first song is going to be all jitters. Get it out of the way. The second song is going to be a good time. And then by the last song, I'm having a good time.
Yeah. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
I think my friends were quite supportive. Mm-hmm. And my sisters were really, really supportive as well. My parents don't quite understand it because, you know, they think like music is fun, but they've gotten more supportive as the years have gone.
In that,
they know that it's my life, it's going to be what I do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they've just gotten more supportive about it. As long as, I think for them, they just want to make sure that I am safe and I'm okay and I am able to take care of myself. And I think I've been able to prove to them that, like, regardless of what happens with my music career, I'll be able to take care of myself. And that's sort of abated their nervousness.
Perfect. Yeah, for sure. And what was the music scene like where you grew up, and how would you compare it to you now living here in Hamilton?
Well, I grew up in Guelph. The music scene in Guelph is now growing, but when I was growing up, I didn't know too much about it because it wasn't that large. You know, we had one major festival in our town, and it was Hillside Festival, and that was kind of like where everyone wanted to get booked. I know that the band that I was in, Other Moons, we would go for it every year and not get it because you know, it's one big prize for a bunch of people who want the same thing. So that was the music scene when I was growing up. Now, slowly, there are more sort of avenues popping up in Guelph for artists to, like, establish themselves. So in comparison to Hamilton, I think Hamilton has a much more established music scene. There are still, like, obviously some of its own drawbacks and stuff like that, but there's just a bit more opportunity in this city for an emerging artist to, like, get on showcases and stuff like that. Still hard, but, like, just a bit more. And that's the biggest difference, I think.
Totally, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself sticking around Hamilton in the near future, or would you like to, do you have plans to move somewhere else, ideally? You know, what does that look like for you?
I mean, I like to think I'm a nomad. I don't, like, we moved around a lot growing up, so the idea of, like, sticking in one place has never been in my DNA, to be totally honest. I'll always have, like, a soft spot in my heart for Hamilton as the place that I cut my teeth and as the place that, like, I call home, as a place that I really kind of became a woman, like, grew into myself. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't know if I will stay here forever. That doesn't have much to do with the scene here. It has more to do with, like, who I am as a person and how I see the trajectory of my life going.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what do you think could be improved about the local scene here in Hamilton?
More spaces for performers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's more I can add to that, but it's like we're losing pretty cool spaces, unfortunately, and the spaces we do have aren't necessarily catered to emerging and up-and-coming artists. So definitely, I think that's what could change. More spaces for musicians in this city, and to sort of create a scene all on our own. I think we focus a little too much on what Toronto's doing, and not enough on, like, what Hamilton can do. And totally. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah. And who would you say are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
I think Soap, Scribe and Anguish Aren't Perfect, are pretty great. Chan Chan is pretty great. Garrett LaJoie is my producer, so I'm going to say he's really good. Mm-hmm. I love June Stone. I'm working with them on my newest single coming out, Olivia, really, from June Stone, so I'm excited about that. I think Eve is pretty cool. I mean, I could go on. These are all my buds, too, so I'll just keep going on and on about them.
Yeah,
I think we have a lot of artists in this city who are doing sort of amazing work, and I'd like to see more visibility for them.
Totally. And if you could collaborate with any musician, and I mean, you can go big on this one, choose anybody, who would that be?
Oh my God, any musician. Whoa. Who would I collaborate with? There's so many. Mm-hmm. That's a loaded question, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to collaborate with Kay Trinata.
Cool.
I think we'd make some really cool music together. I think he produces amazingly, and I think, like, the work that he does is really cool. And I think I've got some pretty good melodic ideas that would sit there. Yeah, I think we'd vibe off of each other pretty well.
Cool. Well, I hope you do at some point.
Fingers crossed. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, seriously. And who would you, you know, obviously you've worked with a few local artists, but is there someone that you've ideally, you know, at some point you'd like to work with who is local?
That is a good question. There's some names I've already rattled off as artists from the previous question that you asked before, but I'd like to work with Shanshan pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can make that happen. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Angela Nethersoul is another artist in this city that I think would be fun to work with as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two that I would like to work with.
Beautiful. We're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from Life on the Tribe. 22 is her recent single in collaboration with the Toronto-based It's Alyssa, a track about labeling 2022 as their year, a year to not only be who they want, but to grab what they deserve. For anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Hamilton-based pop/R&B musician Life and the Tribe, or Aisha Barrow. We just came back from playing 22. Did you have much influence in that songwriting process, or was that mainly It's Alyssa?
Well, a lot of it was It's Alyssa, for sure, but I definitely did do my part too. Like, we both wrote our own little blurbs. For the track. And it was really more like a fun little thing that we did for 2/22/22, you know, like that date. There are lots of folks going about talking about how it's an astral plane opened, or I don't know anything about that. But I do know that it was a cool day and it was a fun time. We made a song about it, and a song about like really going for what we want, in 2022.
Cool. Yeah. So would you say it's a pretty, like, it's kind of a spiritual based song?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I would say so. I think sort of a black woman, and she's Caribbean and I'm African. spirituality is a part of our community and are part of our lineage, mm-hmm. and we can't really divorce our art from it, to be totally honest. So it is directly in there in ways, for sure. The song is kind of like a chant, if you will, about like taking what we want and demanding what we want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how long did your verses take to write?
We were collaborating on it for a bit. My verse, I wrote a couple of different verses for it. I saw the directions that she was going, and then I changed my verse for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that we have there took maybe 30 minutes to write, yeah.
Okay.
About 30 minutes to write, yeah.
Not too long, yeah. And
yeah.
What would you say the lyrics that you wrote, where would you say they come from, or what are they about?
Oh, I gotta remember the lyrics.
Yeah.
I think they were just about, because I was also in the space of 2022 being my year as well, not necessarily in the traditional way of like getting accolades or anything like that, but really making it the year that I wanted it to be. So that's the space that I wrote from, that like all of these like inequalities that we face as like marginalized folks and everything that we have to deal with is exhausting, and you know, we can't help but allow it into our lives, but that doesn't mean we're not going to fight. And that was kind of where I wrote from. I'm going to fight for the life that I and so many folks who look like me deserve.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And how was the song recorded, and who worked on the beat and produced it and all that?
It was totally like a complete collaboration of folks. So it was recorded remotely. I recorded in my little home studio, and so did Alyssa. And the beat was given to us by Onglish. But we also kind of worked, and the beat was produced by Onglish, given to us, and then we also worked with it as well. We took out some stuff, we put in some stuff. So it was a collaborative production.
Cool. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from it?
Well, I hope they see themselves in it. And I hope that, like, everybody who said 2022 is going to be there still sort of believes that. And, like, mm-hmm. still uses that song.
mm-hmm.
Still uses that song as, like, a pick-me-up, you know?
Totally.
If things are pretty tough. So I hope that it brings some reprieve.
Mm-hmm. It's been a rough year so far, so I think we need that.
It's been pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, totally okay.
Awesome. You have an upcoming single. It's called Gone Leave, and when is it coming out?
So it's coming out on July 1st, on Friday.
It's exciting.
Long weekend day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so pretty stoked.
Yeah, we're recording this ahead of time, but this will be up on Tuesday. So Friday, everybody go check it out. Go pre-save it. Go check it out.
Yes, please.
Yeah. How long did it take to write that song?
Man, the song was a labor of love. To physically write it, it actually didn't take that long. I think it took about 2 days to physically write it. So I was plunking out the chords on the piano. Heard a melody, started out with the chorus first, and then kind of had to keep going back to it to figure out what story I wanted to tell in this and refine it. So it took about 2 days to really get that together, if I can remember well,
mm-hmm.
Or at least the bones of it together. And then I contacted Onglish because I had heard his album and really wanted to work with him. And I took the song to him and I was like, hey, I'd love to work with this on you. Kind of like what you do. So from then on, we started working on it. And from then on, the process took about 2 years because we're both very like strong in our artistry and we know kind of what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of about getting to a place where we were both happy with it. And also life happened as well. You know, like we were both going through things. So it took that amount of time to get it to a place where I felt really proud of it and he felt really proud of it as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And where did the lyrics come from? What are they about?
Yeah, of course. The lyrics actually came from my personal experience and the personal experience of my friends. There was a year where, like, me and all my friends were just having really terrible guy problems. Like, for some weird reason, we're all just dealing with kind of, like, the same type of dude. Mm-hmm. And like, the song isn't specifically about anyone, but it's also about a whole bunch of people, you know? Like, right. It's about not being treated well by your partner, and also being in a relationship where you know that the person doesn't want to be there, but they can't just, like, do the right thing by you mm-hmm. and just leave. Mm-hmm. So what they end up doing is they hurt you, as opposed to just leaving, which, like, we were all going through the same thing, and I just kind of got fed up, and I was like, yo, if you want to leave, leave. Just go. But don't do this thing where, like, you were destroying me in the process, you know? Like, mm-hmm. And that's what the lyrics are really about. It's just, like, grow up. You know, some of the lines are, like, be a man about it. Like, just, you know, and I don't like those kinds of terms, but it worked in the song. So leave me alone, everyone.
Mm-hmm. If it works for the song, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But mm-hmm. it was just, like, get it together, you know, like,
yeah.
you're, you know, the first lyric is, you're only 23. You know, 23 is young, but it's also old, mm-hmm. older too. Like, these are the times where you have to decide the type of person you're going to be, and the type of person that I want to be with, and a lot of my friends wanted to be with somebody who was aware of what they wanted. And that was just simple as, like, just tell me what you want. Like, what do you want, you know? Don't leave the choice up to me. Don't do something that's going to make me now have to make this choice that's going to hurt me and hurt you. Just, you know, do something for yourself. If you don't want to be here, don't be here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who did you produce that with?
With Anguish. Mm-hmm. With Anguish. So mm-hmm. It was a co-production between mm-hmm. me, myself, and him.
Perfect. And mm-hmm. what do you hope your listeners will take away from it?
Generally, actually, like, hope they see some of their own story in it. Mm-hmm. I know that, like everyone I know has a story like this, where there was somebody and you're like, man, you don't even really like me. Why are you still here? You know? Mm-hmm. But, like, it's more of a way of, like, when you're even past the point of caring about it. Because I think I got to a place when I was writing this song where I was just like, I'm past the point of caring about it. I just kind of wanted to all stop. So, like, I'll make the decision for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll make the decision for you to, like, end of this. And I hope that they just see themselves in there. I think it's an extremely relatable song.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has had relationship issues. I think everyone I know has been with a guy who's kind of pulled them around or jerked them around. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of about asserting yourself and saying, hey, like, I don't need you. I don't need to be here either. Like, I know what I want. And if it's not in alignment with what you want, then we can both go our separate ways. And at the end of the day, it's also a fun song. Like, and it was made with the intention of making people dance. So I hope they get dancing a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. And we actually have a little sneak peek that you were gracious enough to send me. So I'm going to throw that in right now. I'm not gonna give any spoilers. Yeah. And hope you guys enjoy this.
Yeah. Enjoy.
You're only 23. Got no time for commitment, is what you're telling me. Cause honestly, you're just not happy with how you've been doing mentally.
And I get that, I really do.
Well, quite frankly,
you
always call me up.
Oh yeah, you always call me up.
Say, how you doing? Hey baby girl, what's up?
Hey baby girl, what's up?
Won't you come around over to give me that stuff? You
been thinking that he ain't
if
for
you
me.
Gonna leave, if you gon' leave, be a man about it, baby, don't you blame me.
Don't you blame me.
Be a man about it, tell me if you don't want me.
If you gon' leave,
be a man about it, baby, yeah, if you gon' leave. Yeah, if you gon' leave.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Your time is fucked up, yeah. You have your life, you fucked up, yeah. You have your life, you fucked up, yeah.
You don't have to be
yeah,
out
yeah, yeah.
All right, guys. So that was Gone Leave. And Aisha, do you have a favorite single of yours?
So far, this is my favorite one.
Okay.
Because it sounds the most like me. It sounds the most like kind of what I want to put out. But also, I have some really cool ones coming up. So that's going to change. I know what's going to change.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, yeah. But so far, this is my favorite one. I think with all of my singles, I've grown as an artist, and I've mm-hmm. become more concise as an artist, more adept at getting across the message that I really want to say,
mm-hmm.
and that's why, like, this is my favorite one right now, but that is absolutely going to change, because the next one is going to be my favorite one, because I got even better at getting across what I wanted to say, and then the one after that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Amazing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite singles of yours is Type. And we're going to be playing that at the end of this episode. But I also want to ask you a few questions about that. And how long did Type take to write?
Oh, gosh, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I do not even remember. Oh, my gosh, it was so long ago. Again, it's one of those things of, like, personally writing it in my room, the lyrics came together pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The production part of it is the part that usually takes a long time because I'm not just working by myself or with other people. Life gets in the way, and I don't necessarily always have the terminology to explain to producers what I want, so it takes time for me to figure that out.
Sure.
I think the whole song from start to finish, from like first inception to finish, took about a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are the lyrics about?
Well, Type is just about asserting, again, there's a lot of asserting myself in my music, really, like, talking about how I am the type. Society tells us, women in particular, that we aren't enough, nothing we do is enough, or where we look isn't enough. We could be the most beautiful people in the world and still wouldn't be enough. And specifically, with black women, that's tenfold, and Type is about being enough and saying, I am that person for me, and you can try to deny it, but I know it's not true. Like, I am your type, I am your type, I'm everyone's type, I'm my type, so that's what the song is about.
Amazing. And who did you work with to record and produce that?
But this one was Garrett LaJoie. Yeah, he's producer extraordinaire. We went to school together at Mohawk, and he's just got a really good ear of, like, what a song needs, so I worked with him on this.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And what do you hope your listeners take away from Type?
As with all my songs, I just hope they see themselves in it. You know, like, I think we have so much to deal with, and especially as of late, I hope they are able to see themselves in it, and they feel empowered by these songs that tell them that they're worthy. They're worthy of the things that they want. They're worthy of love, and they're worthy of everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, what's the meaning behind your name, Life in the Tribe?
Yeah, so my birth name is Aisha, and in Arabic, that means a woman who lives or lives to the best of her ability, and that's where life comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And the tribe part is like the slew of artists and producers and journalists and cinematographers or whatever that I work with that helped me bring this artistic idea to life. I'm not a monolith. I don't work alone. I work with a bunch of people, and that's who the tribe is. And that's where that comes from. So I just wanted something. I wanted the beginning of the name to sort of center me, but then the rest of the name to center everyone else that I worked with as well.
Totally, yeah. And how has your style evolved since you first started creating music?
I think when I first started, I was just experimenting. I wanted to do everything under the sun. I wanted my sound to be eclectic, but also I do think that I was pulled in directions based on what people thought my sound should be like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm at a place where I'm really more honest with myself now. I'm getting to a place where I'm more honest with myself now, where I'm like, I can do anything really that I want to do. And what does an Aisha album or a Life in the Tribe album sound like? And that's like still even like a bit of a mystery to me, but I'm getting closer.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And how do you see your sound evolving in the future?
I think I see it evolving as I grow and as I feel as I'm allowed to explore every facet of myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I see my vocals becoming stronger. I see my execution of my artistry becoming more concise and more precise. And I just see me exploring sounds that I might have been too afraid to explore, even say with this upcoming, you know, era of singles and music coming out. So I'm excited to see what that is like. I definitely like to, you know, like it's like the things that I do in my home when no one's watching, I'd like to be able to also transfer that over to my music itself. And I'm getting closer to that.
Mm-hmm. And are there any other forms of art that you've wanted to dip your toes into but haven't yet?
Yeah, dancing more. I would like to get into more of that. I think I did a little bit when I was younger, but wasn't able to move forward with it. And like, if you saw me at home, I'm dancing all the time. So I'd like to really showcase that in my music as well.
Yeah.
In my music videos, maybe.
Yeah. What type of dancing or like what genres of dancing were you into?
We did a lot of like growing up, like Caribbean style and African style dancing. But then I got really into hip hop.
Yeah.
Hip hop dancing, and really, really into the show. So You Think You Can Dance? Oh my goodness, it was a mess. But yeah, more of that. And I think my style, if one can even call it that, is an amalgamation of kind of everything. It's body movement is more what I'm interested in, and how that works with music than anything else.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And this is a bit of a big question, but what have you found to be the most difficult part of the creation process for you personally?
Oh, not a difficult one for me at all. It's been mixing and mastering process for singles and albums. It has to actually be taken out of my head. It's a nightmare. Like, I can't. And a lot of it is because it's rooted in things that are deeper than just mixing and mastering. You know, you work on a song for however long and you want it to sound the way that you hear it in your head. And then when you can't quite get it right, it becomes frustrating because you attach so much to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you attach so much of yourself to it. You attach so much of yourself to your art. You know, you want it to be a success. And for me, it's like, if it doesn't sound the way that I want it to sound, I feel like it's not going to do as well as I want it to. So that is the most, honestly, the most, like, it's a technically difficult part of the process for me. I truly, like, I've gotten to a point where I'm like, I need to outsource this. Now, if we're talking some, like, more, like, I don't know, psychological parts that are like, the hardest is to allow myself to be as honest as I possibly can when I'm writing, because that's hard to do, because some of the stuff I haven't even explored outside of the musician space myself, like some of the stuff I'm dealing with. But when I sit in front of my keyboard, because that's generally how I write songs, things just come out of me that I don't expect. And that can sometimes be hard to deal with because I don't want to deal with them in that moment. But I'm allowing myself to sort of take that time to allow them to come out.
Totally. And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Honestly, I get asked that question a lot, and I'm just at a place where I'm just like, if I'm still having fun doing this, then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm having a good time, if I'm making music that I'm proud of, then that's I'll be happy to be there.
Yeah.
You know, any other accolades would be great. But I'm not married to anything at this point.
Totally. Well, that's a great goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Yeah. What are your goals for 2022?
To put out some really cool singles, to spend time with my family and my friends and my loved ones, and to have fun making music. I know that's a baseline, but it's just, I think there's a lot happening.
Sure.
And yeah, we all need to just give ourselves some reprieve from like trying to get things done. So
oh, yeah.
If I can just put out some really cool new songs and like hang out with the people that I love, then that is my goal for 2022.
Yeah. And bringing up, the mental health aspect of creation and, you know, of creating art, what are some of the best ways that you've been able to help yourself relax? What are some, some self-care tips that you've been using, especially during COVID? What have you found that has helped you with that?
I think it's talking to myself, really being honest with myself, and also like the creative process helped a lot with releasing like what I'm feeling. I'm feeling really lucky to be a musician, actually, because I kind of have this natural release valve inside of me. You know, if things get a little too tough, I write a song. so I'm really lucky in that way. But another thing that's really been helpful is recognizing that like we're all working really hard and we're all burnt out, and burnout begets more burnout. So understanding that like in order to be as productive as I want to be, I need to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Like legitimately need to slow down has been very helpful, because not slowing down caused me to be, anxious constantly, worried constantly, scared constantly about the trajectory of my career, about what I'm doing. The thing about COVID is that it's horrible. Like it's horrible. And it's affected so many folks. And the one thing it has taught me is that like I have no control over anything, none.
Mm-hmm.
So I might as well just relax.
Yeah.
And try to get what I can done and not sweat or stress about the stuff that I can't.
Totally. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And have you found that it's been hard for you to avoid burnout during COVID, or what has your relationship been like to burnout during this time? Because, obviously we're not doing as much during COVID because
yeah.
there's nothing live, right? That's changing
yeah.
now. But how's your relationship to that been? Has that improved? Has that gone worse? What did you find?
Well, it has to get worse before it got better, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I was operating from a place where I didn't even realize I was burnt out for a really long time. Burnt out from on both ends of the stick. Burnt out from my 9-to-5 and burnt out from music, 9-to-5 because, you know how these jobs are.
Mm-hmm.
They exploit you. You know
mm-hmm.
how they are. So I don't even need to go into that. But from music, it was this constant thing of like, I'm putting singles out and I didn't feel like it was doing anything. So it's this burnout literally can happen when you feel like you're doing a lot of work and it's for nothing. And I didn't realize that I've been burnt out,
mm-hmm.
I was burnt out and really get into a place where I was like, okay, I need a perspective shift. I need to reframe how I go about this, or else this process of making art is going to be miserable for me. I'm not going to enjoy anything. Like the goal isn't for me to get anywhere really with it. It's to fulfill my creative desires and to feel like I'm sharing myself with the world and to feel like I see myself. And that's sort of how I'm dealing with burnout. So I have decreased my workload and also, shifted the stress, because it really wasn't going anywhere and it was just sitting in my body and I was getting sicker. So I just had to shift my perspective on how I was going to go about my career in this industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of advice would you give to musicians just kind of starting out?
I would say really discover what you love about what you're doing and go for it. It's hard, and I know people say that all the time, but we somehow still don't really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard. But if you love it, then the reward will be in the art that you can create. And I can probably say that I can look back on some of my work now and be like, I'm proud of this thing, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what sort of number it did, no matter how far it went, I'm proud of it.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, thank you so much for joining me during this. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. you know, what do you have going on? What can we look forward to seeing from you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I have that single coming out on July 1st, so that's exciting. And after that, I'll have more singles coming out as well, hopefully. With certainty. I have a show. I have shows planned, too. Just need to get those more into stone. But yeah, just lots on the way, lots of the tribe, but also lots of rest too. So you guys will see me and then you won't, and then you'll see me again and then you won't.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should go find Aisha on her socials and go pre-save Gone Leave. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be sick. And yeah, thank you so much again.
No, thank you for having me. This has been fun.
No problem. And everybody, you can find Aisha online everywhere under Life in the Tribe and on all streaming services also under Life in the Tribe. And we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Aisha. Type is a track Aisha released back in 2021 about embracing confidence and self-love in the face of colorism.
Hey guys, this is Life in the Tribe, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indie 101.5.
Keep running the low, you ain't gonna say what you know, dog. If I'ma do it solo, I'ma act like I don't know. What you think is real? Don't you know the deal? Can't you see I'm ill? I'm a motherfucking meal, yeah. I'ma tell you a secret, I don't really think that you mean it. Can't perceive it, that you don't want this season. I'm fortified still, can't me so near. Now you cannot conceal my sexual appeal, yeah. All that you got, I can keep it on the low. Mommy, oh mom, I don't wanna keep you close. I love me right up real, I treat me right up real. I get it right up real, I'll do me right up real. All that you got, I don't need, so let it go. I don't wanna keep you close. Turn it up. I love me right up real. I treat me right up real. I get it right up real. I'll do me right up real. Why you acting like I ain't your type? Don't you dare believe in all the hype. You know, baby, I could keep it right for you. Keep it tight for you. Never lie. Secret, what they got you believing, got you perceiving, got you making up reasons for what they think is real and what they think the deal. But they cannot conceal my sexual appeal, yeah. On the low, stop my rise, tell me I ain't never gonna shine. Catch me falling quick and lose my mind. Say I cannot demonstrate my vibe. I'm fortified still, can't f*** me so new. Now you cannot conceal my sexual appeal. Like I ain't your type. Don't you dare believe in all the hype. You know, baby, I could keep it right for you. Keep it tight for you. Never lie to you. So why you acting like I ain't your type? Don't you dare believe in all the hype. You know, baby, I could keep it right for you. Keep it tight for you. Never lie. I can keep it on the low. Mommy, oh mom, I don't wanna keep you close. I love me right up real. I treat me right up real. I'll get it right up real. I'll do me, I'll do me.